Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
Good morning, Holland Zeeland. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. And for everybody to know, I've been talking about this for the past 11 months and 29 days. Today is the day Kerry is 50.
I just clocked it. It took him 6 seconds to mention that. I started the timer.
He's now in his 50s.
Now, according to the ladies in the office, I get my AARP card.
Now he can put more money in his IRAs.
Absolutely.
So happy birthday, Kerry.
Well, thanks.
So, hey, our show today is being brought to you by Mary Jo Borman. Mary Jo Borman, Hezer Law Office is in our building at 123 East Main. You can contact her at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at www.bormanlaw.com. That is BOERMANLAW.com.
And listeners, hey, we have lines open taking your calls this morning, 395-1450. Today's show, good show, is a guide to the market, kind of a quarterly or mid-year, or past the mid-year, but just kind of a quarterly update.
It's the third quarter update.
Yep.
It good numbers, PE numbers, unemployment numbers, federal budget numbers, lots of good numbers. So we want to get to that as soon as possible. So we want to go probably right to the markets. Today, by the markets, is all about health care. And
I wonder why.
Well, it's the start. We have now began
official on the first.
The race is on, and one of the things, Kerry, is lots of things to talk about. So you go first, and let's just go first. Let's just go. If you want to get to the healthcare website, this is where you need to go. www.healthcare, one word, healthcare.gov. That is what we would call in poker, Jacks are better to open. That's where you need to go.
They're doing repairs all weekend.
What? Is it not on? Is it not up?
They said during peak hours it's supposed to be up, but last I checked, there's still no access. Even though it's up, it's not up.
Okay.
So it hasn't even been up all this week?
Oh, yeah, it has been.
I checked all week long. I was never able to get in all day long, but supposedly some people are getting in.
Well, you have to have a computer.
I was on the computer. I was sitting there. I was throwing a rock against the wall, and I couldn't get it.
Well, Chris, hey, while you're on the line, Stacy last week was saying too that everything hadn't been figured out. Are they still working on a lot of that stuff?
As far as rates, we know what rates are. We know what the subsidies will be. As far as putting that in the calculator, finding out how much you'll get in cost sharing and tax credits, it's just matching the two together and now applying through the marketplace, which is all right there on the healthcare.gov that we're waiting on their end. So
okay, so the rates finally got posted.
Yep.
Yeah, I actually went on there and looked at rates.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's
you can go to individual websites too. You can go to Blue Crosses or Priority Health. You don't have to go just to the healthcare.gov to get rates. You can go to the individual insurers too.
Yeah. So that's so lots of things to talk about. So Kerry didn't go first, so I will go first then. he's now got to think a little bit because he is slightly over 50 now. So
takes me 6 more seconds.
Yeah, well, there is, and we've talked about this before. Let's just kind of go through these. There is a menu of plans, and Chris, you can speak up anytime you want. So right now they're labeled bronze, that's the least expensive, silver, gold, platinum. So each one of these, as you go up the line, bronze, for example, is going to be covering 60% of your healthcare costs, silver, 70, gold, 80, platinum, most expensive, about 90%. So all these aren't going to pay 100%. So now, you think about some of these plans, where's the rest of it going to? Well, the rest of the people are going to be on Medicaid, Medicare, et cetera. But that's how the plans are categorized so far.
Well, and so far, those, that are on Medicare, they're not going to be affected much by this. And those that are thinking of retiring, let's say age 60 to 65, 60 to 66, and they leave their employer, they don't have health care, they're going to have to go out and get this on their own. So a big question that's come up lately is, can I afford to retire based on the health care cost during that age gap.
And, you know, right now it's going to be, as Chris was talking about, it is depends on your income.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be income-based. And one of the nicest things about Obamacare, because there's some good stuff, is you cannot be denied coverage, you know, arthritis, obesity, cancer, et cetera, but your health care premium will be bigger if you smoke, which is interesting. You could be obese, you could weigh 1,000 pounds, you could still get insurance, but if you smoke, your premium is going to be higher, which is, that's good, but, you know, that's, you know, some of the other things should be rated as well, and I think, you know, that's one where they missed it, but smoking will be a rated policy, which is interesting.
That
and, of
is.
Course, people are going to, they're all going to say they don't smoke.
Yeah, but then they could get caught smoking. Well, they get tested, I'm sure.
I have no. No, you're not going to get tested. Get help. It's like, come in here, okay, what is Chris going to have a jar in the back taking people's blood test? That's not going to happen. No, don't be going there.
No, we're not
going there, Jack. Come on.
All right. Well, and, you know, states, all 50 states could set up their own, you know, what they call build their own. What do they call it, Chris?
He's going to bail you out.
Yeah, I know. You're going to bail me out here because you're the expert, really.
I was reading. Repeat the question.
Okay. Each state had the choice to get what they call their own health.
Marketplace exchange.
Marketplace. There
like
you
that,
go.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for. So each state had, but they could opt out and do their own, right?
Correct. And I think you can do both, too. You can have a states can do state or federally funded, too.
Okay.
So if you look at that, you know, if you look at the states, some states has opted to go on their own. For example, California has 26, you know, Illinois, you know, yet to be determined. But, you know, small states like Vermont, two or three. So here's another interesting one. I talked to you about the smoking is going to be categorized. But health care insurance premiums charged to middle-aged and older adults for coverage purchased through HIMs cannot be more than three times what a 21-year-old. So they're really trying to say, okay, Carrie's 50 now. He can't be charged three times more than a 21-year-old. So, you know, they want to make sure that if you do have some issues, you're not being overcharged. Because in the old days, you know, you were older, you had some issues. You know, you could be four or five, six times higher than a 20-year-old who's in perfect shape. So now it's three times.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't base it three times. Well, that's good. I like that.
Well, and you know, other things I heard, actually it was last night on the radio and this morning again, is, you know, people out there going for, you know, the health care, and employers especially, employers are looking at creative ways to, some have just said, hey, we're going to pay the penalty, and that's going to be still less expensive than us buying health insurance for employees.
Well, let's just go to the penalty right now. The penalty this year is $95. That's really cheap. It's 1% of your income, or 95, which is ever higher. So $95. However, in 2016, that penalty is going to be $695, or 2.5% of your income. So it's going to ratchet up here, and
oh,
it's like,
yeah, and they even said with that ratchet up, let's say you have 50 employees, you need a, you know, get this, they're not going to offer. They're still going to pay penalty, and the first 30 are waived, so they're still ahead.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. So there's ways, but it's going to ratchet it up. So that's all the healthcare questions I got. You have any more, Kerry?
No, we could go on and on about this and talk about it, and it's in the news. And
all right, let's go to questions. We have a real easy question this morning. How long do I need to work to become eligible for Social Security? Survey says
40 credits.
40 credits. That is really, you can get one credit, and which is really turns out to be a quarter, and you need to get 40 of those to qualify. So it could take you 20 years to get there, but it's a minimum. You can only earn one credit per quarter. That's all you can earn. But it doesn't need to be consecutively. You just need to have 40 credits. And a lot of people, you know, they start working, you know, in their earlier years. Females especially take 20 years out to have kids, and they get back to work, and, you know, then they start adding some more.
Mm-hmm.
But to Social Security is calculated your 35 highest years. So many people retire and have some zeros because they don't have 35 years.
And if they continue working, you can drop off zeros and add
to
it.
So that's Last question. I mean, this is really a good one because, you know, we talk about can you afford to retire. We ran the numbers for our retirement. It seems that we are going to be about $1,500 short per month.
Wow, that's a big...
Well, that's a big number.
Yeah.
How can we make up the difference? I wrote down about six things, so we can just go back and forth.
All right.
You go first.
Well, one is, you know, look at your expenses and cut some of your expenses on what you need and what you don't need.
That's one. Work more. Work longer.
Yep.
That's number two.
Retire, but work. Continue to work part-time.
Take Social Security later. Don't take it at 62. Continue to ratchet up Social Security. Work, ratchet it up, and you know maybe take it at, you know, we always like to have people take it at 66. So don't take Social Security at 62. Continue to work, as you said, and take Social Security later.
Don't retire.
Well, and the last one is you got to save more.
Yes.
You have to save more. You said, you know, spend less. We said take Social Security later. Take Social Security at 66, still work. I mean, all of that adds up to being able to retire. But if you're $1,500 short a month, and that's what somebody's ran for you, that's a lot.
It
is.
And, you know, the other thing is that should go on there is look at your investments. How are they invested? Are they properly allocated? And really, it's not looking at just one of these we mentioned. It's a combination. Doing a combination of these things is going to make it happen for you.
So we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Jack Godfrey.
And Kerry Cooley. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Holland Zealand. Good morning. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Hey, today's show is we're going to be talking about Guide to the Market. We get a packet of about 70 sheets. Talking about where we are year to date, where we are over the last 10 years on a lot of things, the returns, PEs, national defense budget, oil production. It's a great thing to review with you because you need to, you know, as part of a Money Matters show, where's your money? What are we doing in an interest rate increased environment? Where's the best place to be year to date? Looking back, what have we come through? So if you've got questions, you call us, 395-1450. But it's important to know that today's Money Matters show is being brought to you by Borman Law Offices. Mary Jo Borman is an estate planning attorney located in our building. And have you really taken a look at your will? Have you updated it? Have you recently been married or divorced or have some children or grandchildren? Are your kids off to school? Do we need to update that will? Mary Jo Borman will review your existing will and make you or help you make any changes that need to be made or maybe suggest changes that need to be made. Contact Mary Jo at 616-772-2487. That's 616-772-2487 or her website, which is www.bormanlaw.com. That's BOERMANLAW.com.
Yeah, and, you know, just this week, Jack, I had a couple in, and they hadn't made changes on their beneficiaries since they were married. And they've had kids, they've had grandkids, and so we went through everything and made sure that they had a TOD on their joint account, which is a transfer and death, that they had their beneficiaries updated in their 401k plan, their IRAs, their insurances, you know, were all things that had never been updated.
That's sad. You know, I just
met like with, he still had his parents on there.
Well, another good one. I just met with, you know, one of my larger customers in Plainwell, Michigan, single, 57, has accumulated a lot of wealth through working, and you know, his primary job today is a garage sales, which he makes a tremendous amount of money in garage sales. I mean, I went through his barn, which is about half the size of a football field, and tremendously categorized. But the story is, you know, we wanted to get to his beneficiaries. You know, had his account for 20 years. His parents are his beneficiaries. Well, 20 years ago, it made sense when his parents were in their late 50s. Now they're in their late 70s. Large IRAs, it doesn't make sense for him to have his parents because the stretchability of an IRA goes up until about 111.
And it's based off of the beneficiary's birthday. So the older they are, the more they have to take out.
So at least I convinced him to update his transfer on death and his IRA beneficiaries to a nephew and a grandnephew. So the nephew's 30, the grandnephew's 9. We spent a lot of time talking about stretchability, what it's going to look like. And, you know, it's, you know, those two will be multimillionaires once they inherit this money. I mean, it's unbelievable. But he still has parents. I mean, it says, you know, look at these numbers. Your parents are wealthy. They don't need this money.
Mm-hmm.
And why? And they're losing that, you know, the, you know, say they, you know, die in 10 years, you know, that you're losing all the stretchability of your IRA. I mean, you leave somebody a $500,000 IRA, you know, a 9-year-old, say he's 19 or say he's 29. You know, he has to a 111, so he can get it, his wife can get it, his kids can get it, his grandkids can get it. I mean, that $500,000 IRA is going to be $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
$10 million.
I know.
But you have to get people to understand the numbers and beneficiaries, what they mean for all the stuff.
And it boils down to the laws of compounding.
Oh, laws of compounding.
It is huge. So,
hey, guide to the markets.
Yeah,
this is really cool.
Number here, 395-1450. Lines are open. And, hey, I like to always look at returns on investments by different investment styles. And I found these numbers very interesting, Jack, because year to date, if you look at all the sectors of the market, large, medium, small, and then you have large value, large blend, large growth, and so forth with mid. But you know, the ones that are leading the way year to date, you have the small growth area is up over 32% year to date.
Those are big numbers. And, you know, when you think about small companies, these are companies that are nimble. These are companies, you know, the owner, the president, the CEO, he's running three or four different hats. You know, he's the president. He's the CEO. He's the chief investment officer. He's the treasurer. You know, he's saying, you know, somebody comes in with an idea that he can get a payback on. He goes, yeah, we're going to do that. Just order it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, let's get these customers. I mean, a lot of nimble, and I'm really trying to underestimate here, you know, how small companies, because there's small companies who have, you know, 200 or 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm just saying is they're very nimble. They don't have to do it by committee, by the board, by the executive committee. You know, the bogging down of making decisions, because I've been there in those meetings, and you really get bogged down. No, we need to do this today. No, we need to think about it. No, we need to do this today.
Yep. Well, and then when you look at large companies here, they've had returns of north of 19%. Mid-cap is north of 22%. So all the sectors have had good returns year to date. I mean, those are huge returns, and we're not even through the end of the year yet.
Nope, and let's just think of this quarter. We're talking about the third quarter, July 1st through September 30th. So that is the third quarter. Small cap growth is up just in that quarter, 12.8. I'm happy with that for a whole year. That's mm-hmm. just one quarter. Mm-hmm. Then if we go back to, you know, we don't want to start at the bottom of 2009. We want to think since the peak. Since the peak of 2007, that's
October
when it was,
2007 yeah, was so the peak.
That's the peak. Small cap growth is up 45% since 07, which is, you know, that's 6 years. So 6 years, and it's up nearly 46%. That's still a great return from the peak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look, if you had put money in March of 09, which is at the bottom. The best place to be, of course, is one of our favorites, mid-cap. Mid-cap value is up 245%. Look at those people. You know, those people are putting money in their 401ks, putting in their simple, putting in their IRAs. Holy smokes, they're up
mm-hmm.
tremendously.
Yep, and it boils down to faithfully putting money into those investments on a regular basis. And
so, you know, if you look at through the years, so if you go all the way back to 97, 96, you know, we're down, you know, this is the S&P below 800 from 97 all the way up to 2000, which was a big market, up 106%. You go from 2000 all the way down to 2002, down 49%. Back up from 2002 to 2007, up 101%. 2007 down to 2009, down 57%. 2009 up 148%.
Came roaring back. You know, and you know, we look at that, the market, you know, we also look at different sectors of the market, technology, financials, consumers, energy. You know, year to date, the area that has performed the best, and this doesn't surprise us, is healthcare. You know, the healthcare has really, because of the aging population, a lot of these companies, like, and again, I'm not recommending these companies to go out and buy. These are just examples. These are examples like Bristol-Myers, Pfizer, or some Perigot. These are all companies that have benefited from the aging population.
Well, they benefited, but, you know, the best way probably to, you know, capture that is you probably want to find a mutual fund that buys every sector of the healthcare, not just one sector.
Just not drugs. Yeah.
And I really think that penalty or the fee the federal government's going to charge with the device carriers, 2%. Chris, maybe you know what that is. It's 2.5, somewhere on there, 2.3 is what they're going to charge device companies, Stryker, et cetera, that make devices. So when you get a hip replacement, you get a knee replacement, you get an elbow replacement, shoulder replacement.
It's going to go up by 2.5% or so.
Yeah, so the people you're trying to fix with healthcare, the healthcare companies need to pay for that. Well, that's one way to pay for Obamacare, but they're just going to increase the cost. I mean, they know what it's like.
Yeah, they're going to pass it on.
Yeah, they're just going to pass it on. So I think that's going to be repealed here. That's what I think, some of the givebacks.
Well, you know, and there's been like something, I don't know, maybe there's been more changes, but between 16 and 19 changes, I mean, some big changes to this healthcare act since originally was proposed. So, and I don't think we're done yet.
Oh, we're going to make hundreds of changes before this is done. But healthcare is not going to, this Obamacare Affordable Health Care Act is not going to go away. So we're going to take a break right now. We're going to take, we're going to come back. We're talking about Guide to the Markets. Call 395-1450. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Jack Godfrey.
And Kerry Cooley. Hey, welcome back, listeners, on this beautiful Saturday morning. I know a little rain's expected, but we need rain, don't we, Jack?
No, we don't. We don't need too much, but we need a little bit.
You have that yard put in yet?
I do have a yard now. I have grass.
All right.
That's called a yard.
Next is mowing.
I know. Yeah. Hey. I'm going to be shoveling snow here pretty quick.
Hey, listeners, lines are open, 395-1450. Call with any of your questions. We're talking about just a guide to the market, an update on the market. And one of the things we like to look at is what's called stock evaluations. Basically, it's evaluating a stock to say, hey, where does it compare in history, and is that at a fair market value? And Jack, valuations are really pretty good right now, meaning they're a little bit below highs and within averages, but there's still some good valuations out there to be buying.
Well, let's just back up a second. You know, I've got some calls this week. Well, what do you think I ought to do in the market? I go, what are you talking about? Well, you know, it's been going down here. It was actually up yesterday, down 2 or 3 days this week. And I go, well, it's always easy to get out, but it's never easy to get back in, because you'll second guess yourself more. Is this the day I put my money back in the market? Should I go to all cash? Which leads to this to what we're going to talk about is stock valuations, because when this thing gets over of, you know, we've got a couple issues. We've got extending the term of the debt ceiling. Then we've got, you know, extending what our credit limit's going to be. It's at $18 billion. We're going to go to $20 billion. So we've got a lot of things we need to talk about. When that's over, now we talk about what the valuations are. So if we go all the way back 15 years ago, the market was pretty frothy, but the price to book, or we're going to talk about price earnings ratios. So price to earnings was 16.3. That's the multiple. Today it's 14.3. So, you know, we're not even close to the peak. So stock valuations, you're buying value today. And, you know, what you need to think about is always buy things when they're on sale. Good stock pickers like stocks when they've been beaten down. You know, when you go back to the financial marketplace and you look at the financial stocks, when they were down in 08, you know, Fifth Third was $1, Macatawa Bank was 80 cents. You look at all those are times to buy. We still have those times today. They haven't got back to where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why do you want to say go to cash when all of a sudden, you know, all these issues get taken care of, and they will, you get back in and you're now paying a higher price than what you got out of. So, you know, plus you're losing all the dividend reinvestment.
Yeah, and you know, talk about dividend yield today. If you look at the S&P 500, the dividend yield is 2.2%. And that's compared to that 15-year average, 1.9. So dividends are good too. Companies are paying out dividends.
No, it's really good. So, you know, you want to take a look. Here's another thing. Let's take a look at the S&P operating earnings estimate. Let's go back to third quarter numbers. The S&P estimate is $118.03 per share. That is an all-time high. So we have valuations that are under book. We have earnings that are better. So, you know, the market is still not too high. That's what you always want to be for. Am I buying things right? And you need to shift money when things are too expensive. That means companies aren't earning money. Right now, companies are earning money, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we look at other things, you know, current PE versus a 20-year average, you know, current PE, you're looking at in large value. Let's just pick on large growth. That's a very common area. These are companies like your, you know, GEs, your Coca-Colas, things like that. The large growth area is 16.3, and the average, 20-year average, is 20.9.
Well, let's go back to the frothy area, which is small cap growth. Remember we said how well they've done? Currently it's 19.2, 21-year average is 21.3, so... You know, if you look at large cap growth, the 20-year average, 20.9. The highest one, of course, is mid cap growth, which is 21.8. But that valuation is 17.7 right now. So it's right in between large growth and small growth in terms of the value of buying stuff today is still there. That's what you want to be thinking about is what's the value today? Am I still getting a deal at the local garage sale? And you are.
There are still good deals out there, absolutely. So now let's look at the year-over-year earnings per share growth. I mean, that's if you look at that number, it's still at a great rate. You know, everything's telling us there's still good valuations.
Oh, there's still good value. So, you know, one thing you got to look at, too, is the IPO marketplace. We've had more IPOs. That means initial price offering of people going out to the marketplace and now going public. I think Twitter is the latest one that's going to be going public. You know, you can go back to Facebook. Facebook started out about $40, went down to $17. Now it's at $50. Wow. So the people who bought it at $40 got out at $20, and now it's $50. You know, you have to understand where companies are going to go. And when it got down to 17, you should have bought some because this company's not going away. And it's still continuing to do well. So the IPO market, companies going public, you know, some companies just specialize in collection of mutual funds of taking people public, and they buy those right at the opening. And the mergers and mergers and acquisitions, you know, that is pretty exciting today because more companies are buying some of the smaller ones. You look at Microsoft and, you know, even Facebook, you know, they buy a company like every month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just buy 5 employees or 10 employees. They want to get them because, you know, there's a whiz kid that just understands what they don't get.
Well, and then you have companies out there like the Warren Buffetts that go and take and buy a Heinz, which is a publicly traded company, and they're going to take it private again and then sell off and break it up and just make a better company out of it is really what they're doing, and they're making money out of that deal. And then some of these smaller companies eventually will grow and maybe go public again.
Yeah.
But you have investors out there really, you know, repositioning companies, realigning companies to make them better.
Let's go to GDP. Lots of people don't know what makes up GDP, so this is a little lesson on GDP. So we're still negative exports. We're about negative 3.1. More people are importing to us than we're exporting. Consumption. We always say we need to be a spending U.S. 68.6 of the GDP is made up of consumption. You know, how are we going to get our way out of what they call still a recession? Is government says we're going to spend money. We're going to spend money in bridges, 18.7. Investments, you know, are you investing in housing? Are you investing in a spec home? That's 12.7. And housing alone, just housing alone, is 3.1. So that's what, you know, we talk about GDP, what drives GDP. It's spending money. The government, the personal, and people trying to make investments to grow the economy.
It's consumers. It's us spending money, yes.
But a certain portion of that, you know, a little bit under 13%, is people making investments in the future, buying more equipment for your factory, getting more people to work, which are going to get more people to spend. So that is what's made up of GDP.
Well, hey, Chris is saying a short break here. Listeners, we're going to be right back with more of the market update quarterly here, third quarter of 2013. And you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Hey, we're talking about Guide to the Markets right now. We're talking about lots of things that have happened here in the third quarter or the last 5 years or last 10 years. Here's a real interesting one, Kerry. It's home inventories. You go back to 06, we had not quite 4.5 million
we had
homes. We had a boatload of homes. Right now, the inventory's just above 2 million, the inventory. So, you know, that's a decrease of 2 million plus homes since the peak.
Well, and another factor that we, you know, a lot of homes have moved, have sold, but values have gone down a lot. And that has helped move a lot of these homes, plus the low interest rates.
If we take a look at the average monthly mortgage payment way back in, just say 07, it was around $1,000. Right now, the average home payment, third quarter 2013, $589. The average monthly rent, $746. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So the average mortgage payment is under the average rent because people who lost their homes are now renting and they're paying more money than they should be if they go out there and buy an $80,000 house for 30 years.
And I read an interesting article about that renting. I mean, because renting, the demand for it's going up because, you know, the number of houses out there that are for sale and people not being able, you know, renting inventory has fallen too.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, that's really serious. I mean, that worm will turn too. But you know, you're now starting to see apartment buildings being built. So here's always a good one. This is the federal budget. That's what we're talking about out in the newspapers today. Let's just kind of go through the sources of income. Sources of income. 39% of the sources of income for the federal government is individuals. 39%, corporations, 8%, Social Security Insurance, 28%, other, 7%. We currently borrow 19%. 19%. So, you know, we're spending all that. We continue to take in, and we're borrowing 19% right now. That's as of the third quarter. Now, where are we spending it?
Yeah, and, you know, this is what I find interesting, where we're spending it. You have Medicare and Medicaid is 25%. Social Security is 23%. And your defense is 22%.
Now we look at net interest costs are 6%. Non-defense discretionary, because we talk about what they're bickering about right now is the discretionary spending. So we have discretionary spending of 13% for non-defense, 6% for which is the interest. Other is 10. So our discretionary is about 29% or a little bit less. That's all we're worrying about because all these other ones are by law, defense, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. Those are entitlement programs or by law what we have to keep up. So the rest of that, you know, our discretionary is 29%, and that's what we're talking about.
And there was very little room to work in that budget then.
Very, very little room to work. Let's just talk about unemployment. Here's a real interesting thing for civil unemployment. We go back to October of 2009. We're at the bottom. Unemployment there is 10%. Right now, the average 2013 is 7.3. 50-year average, 6.1. That's the 50-year average, 6.1. We're at 7.3. However, we have to take a look at there's more and more people who are underemployed or not looking. Yeah, they're not looking. Right.
Not looking, and as you said, underemployed.
Yep.
Also, an article here from a recent thing I print off, U.S. jobless claims remain at a six-year low. But the big thing there is there's a lot of people that have been applying for, you know, that they're out of work and unemployment, but they've run out and they don't show on their radar anymore. These numbers aren't being counted.
So let's look at year over year, August 2012 to July 2013. Total hires during that time period, 52.1 million. Total separations were 50.2. What are those separations? Quits, 26 million. Layoffs and discharges, 20 million, 19.9. Other separations, which are uncategorized, 4.3 million. So 52 hires, dismissals, 50.2, which is really a wash, which is really interesting. We have educational levels. Here is the unemployment by educational levels. If you look at less than a high school degree, 11.3. High school, no college, 7.6. Some college, 6.1. College or greater, master's, doctor, whatever, 3.5. So it really talks about less than high school. That means you quit, 11.3. Some high school, no college, 7.6, some college, 6.1, college or greater, 3.5.
Well, and that equates to the flip side of it is earnings by degree. High school graduate average earnings is $32,400. Then you go to a bachelor's degree, it jumps up from 32 to 59. And advanced degree, it jumps all the way to 87,000.
Now, this is not starting pay. This is the average.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, geez, Jack, I got a college degree. Where you got to find a job paying 59? Well, you probably aren't, unless you're in a specialty degree, you know, some type of engineering degree, communications degree with a specialty in computers. And then you look at a doctorate or a master's, 87. Well, if you have a master's in physical therapy or you have a master's in, you know, you're a nurse practitioner, you're making 87 or higher. So that's really interesting of college degree levels. Let's just talk about oil production. What happened this week was really interesting is we have surpassed Russia of being the leading producer of energy in the world.
Yeah, and a lot of economists believe that as this continues, we should be able to be self-sustaining here in the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, if we can ever build a refinery, if we get the government out of the way to let us do that, if we can build some... You know, what's taking the hit right now is coal. Coal is still the number one energy supply source that we have, and to get a plant rebuilt today is it's just not there. It's not there. You can't get anybody to let you build a new coal-fired plant, which is Holland. You know, just can't get that built. But interesting, though, but the U.S. is there. Let's talk about natural gas prices. This is really interesting. In Japan, natural gas 16.75 US 276. You know, if we get to the world prices with our gas, holy smokes. I mean, if we could ever get pipelines to ship it out, that'd make a big difference.
Yeah, and make a lot of money. I mean, the you know, you look at North Dakota and the states like that with the fracking and all that, they're booming up there. I mean, they don't have enough housing for people. They get people to work at McDonald's, and the price to work at McDonald's is, Jack, do you recall what that was?
No, probably about $35,000, $40,000.
Yeah, it was
$15 an hour.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, wow, it's like the gold rush, but only the oil rush in North Dakota there.
Hey, we're getting close to the end of our show. Is there anything else, Kerry, that you see? I mean, emerging market debt, you know, there's a lot of emerging market debt out there right now. If you take a look at sovereign countries, Asia's 18% of the debt, Europe 34, Latin America 36, Africa and the Middle East 12%. If you look at corporate debt, Asia 42, because you think of corporate debt in the emerging market countries is because they have the most industries, Europe 16, Latin America 28, Africa, this is a corporate debt, 14%. So, and there's been a lessening of people having inflows into foreign debt, which you always need to have a little bit of foreign debt. That's what I believe. It needs to be a certain part of your portfolio.
Well, I was looking at here just the inflation and unemployment. Guess what country has the highest inflation and unemployment?
I give.
Oh, come on. You can guess that.
Japan.
Greece,
that's right. Greece, Portugal, et cetera.
And on the low end there, it's Norway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're just totally taken care of.
I mean, you go there and your health care, everything, you're taken care of.
They're just happy.
Yeah.
they are just happy they don't know the difference. Hey, today's show is being brought to you by Mary Jo Borm, and Mary Jo Borm is located in our building at 123 East Main, downtown Zeeland. And you can contact her at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at www.bormanlaw.com. That's BORMANLAW.com.
And our next week's show is we're going to talk about bankruptcy and the myths behind bankruptcy. And join our show. Other things, if you have questions that have come up during the show, give us a call at our office, 931-1223, and you can talk to Jack or I, or Janet would be available. So everyone, you've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Go Green.
You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Jack Godfrey and Kerry Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Be sure to join us next Saturday at the same time for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.